This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Well, this is a fascinating story. New York City decides that they're going to send in the National Guard to protect the subways. A few days later, Chicago says we ought to do the same thing. Why would they do that? They say that they're doing it to protect the subway workers. You know what I say? It's an election year. And you know what? This looks more like a quiet martial law, maybe to steal the election. I guess we'll find out. Stand by. I got a lot more information for you on this. Well, here we go. Episode 1652 of the Christopher Scott Show. Thanks for joining me. Happy to be here. Saw these stories pop up. I said, man, we better jump on this a little bit. Kind of fueling the worst fears that I've had about all this immigration stuff. I said there in the opening clip, you know, I threw in about stealing the election after I thought about that. I said, well, you know, that's quite a stretch for me to put that together. That would certainly fall into the conspiracy theory category. And so maybe I'm just one of those weirdos. But you know what made me think of it? Made me think of it because, what was it? Oh, yeah, because we were locked down during the last election. And best I could tell, that election didn't go real well either, at least in terms of integrity, if that means anything to anybody. Anyway, let me calm down a little bit. Episode 1652, pretty exciting to be here. There's so many cool things going on. Those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I launched a new radio show, Project Chaos, a new podcast with that. It's been monumental. At the same time, I was trying to figure out with all that, where does the Christopher Scott Show fall into all that? And thanks be to the wisdom of a higher place than I can provide, I think we found it. I think we did. And so I'm really glad that I kept the energy up the way I did because I'm really excited about this next chapter for the Christopher Scott Show. I really am. It's going to be absolutely magnificent. I've got my fourth book coming out. If you know the story, I had been trapped in a nasty, filthy, dead-end job. I got freed up from that, and it just freed up a bunch of other things, too. And as I look at it, I said, man, I should have been doing this a long time ago. Should have been doing what I'm doing now. But we're promoting. We're getting the word out. The video is the big thing. You know, we set up this studio here 3 years ago with the idea of doing this. And it's just things, what do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention. But here we are. We're on new channels, getting exposed to new people every day. The audience is growing today like nothing I'd seen in quite a while. So anyway, I'm excited to continue on with that. And I'm excited to keep you updated on the journey with it as well. But let's get into these stories here a little bit. So first we hear, and I'm just going to share with you a little bit of what came up in the unofficial feed here. Yesterday, Governor Hochul deploys National Guard in New York City substations. A few hours later, National Guard seen on New York City subway stations helping with baggage. Get out of here. National Guard patrolling New York City subway stations. Then this comes out just a matter of hours later. Union bosses of the National Guard to be used in Chicago as well. Now, who would really care about any of that? So here you got Chicago, New York already doing it, Chicago coming in. They bring this union boss. I don't know who. Union boss. It's funny to me that the let's not do that. That's not good for the new show. I don't have the text here to tell you who the union boss was. I mean, it was like the big boss. And he said, it's funny, he tripped up a little bit. He said, well, you know, to keep the people, the workers safe. Now, don't say that the people aren't safe because that's not good for publicity. But the fact of the matter is, how can the people be safe if the workers are not? The people don't know how to act. But then I ask myself this too. Would they even intervene if it was like somebody attacking another citizen? Or is this just if they're attacking the government workers down there, the subway workers? What's the real deal on this? And why the slippery way that it was rolled out? Can't really trust anything. but there was a quick call put in from the mayor or the chief of police down there. Hey, send in the National Guard. I don't know. They're not really revealing any of that. I'm certainly not seeing any of it in the headlines. Out there in Chicago, this union boss comes up and says, well, we needed to protect the workers, the staff. Okay, I would say that's certainly a concern. Why are they so on? There's not property security in general. Why not? Why is anybody asking that question? What's going on with the security? I'm guessing maybe it has to do with a problem. What did I read about the other day? Oh, yeah, illegal immigration. But don't look it up. Don't go searching for that because that term won't come up. If you search illegal firearm, see what comes up. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny what they'll protect and what they won't protect? The union boss, who's working well with the media, with the subway authority and the politicians, you know that, right? All the union money only goes to one place. Don't tell me they're not working with the party. When 90%+ of the union boss money is going to one party, what does that tell you? That they're only supporting one party no matter what. They'll support anything they say. So they say, hey, union boss, we need you on board. Go down there and make a public statement and tell them that, this is good for the unions. That's what the important thing is here. That's what everybody wants to hear. That's all anybody cares about, I suppose. What's good for the union? I don't think so. I don't think it's on anybody's minds, really. All right, enough of the nonsense on this. What's really going on? Well, let me share with you. I think this is one of those situations you really got to step back and you got to look at the news burst that has come out on this and take a look at all of it. I think it tells you exactly. What do they say? Follow the money, right? So the first, this headline, I believe this came out of Chicago as well, released by the Gateway Pundit. Sanctuary city landlords get a call from local officials strapped for cash. We'll talk a little bit more about that. House passes a spending bill package. It hadn't gone to the Senate yet when that came out. $13 billion for earmarks. Well, way do you tie this together? Senate sends a $6 billion funding package to Biden, averting a shutdown. Biden attacks GOP for unlimited dark money as untraceable cash refuels his reelection. Where's that money coming from? I want to talk about that. How's this all tied together? Biden lied 30 times during the State of the Union. Of course, Republicans go nuts after the Biden State of the Union. I'm going to make a couple comments on that. Biden signs a major government funding bill after all that, just in time to avert a government shutdown. You see, everything is good. No, it's not. Not for us. What just happened in all that? What just happened in everything I just shared with you? The money just flowed into the deep state, plus an extra $13 billion. Unreal, really. Why aren't New York City and Chicago screaming bloody murder? Maybe they're getting a little piece of it. You ever think of that? We'll give you $1 billion for security. Call up the National Guard. So with that, what are they doing if this plan is being orchestrated like that? Don't tell me it's not. All of a sudden, out of the blue, well, we're going to send in the National Guard. Yeah, and the unions are on board, and all the media outlets are all ready to roll it out. You know, I remember talking to a guy who works in FEMA. Now, I don't know that that means he knows anything about anything, you know. You'd have to ask yourself, I guess. But he works for FEMA. I'm going to assume he knows a little bit more about it than I do. I says, they have a plan to cut off all the cities. I said, what do you mean a plan to cut off all these cities? Yeah, they're going to close the beltway around all the cities. I said, well, that's going to be a problem because we don't have a beltway around Philadelphia. He started naming off roads. Well, I says, I suppose you're right. Is that already underway? What's going on? Listen to this about the sanctuary landlords, all right? So they're putting the National Guard down there. You going to tell me that they're trained in civil matters and protecting people's rights? What are they carrying? Are they carrying loaded weapons down there on the subway? If not, that's a whole nother set of problems, isn't it? Oh, this was Denver. I said Chicago. Another liberal city. Denver landlords are getting the call that no property owner wants to get. What? This is America. Now that the sanctuary city is housing fewer illegal immigrants in shelters, the local government is looking to private property owners to rent out to the migrants. Officials are sharing that thousands have been exiting shelters. We're at below 1,800 right now for the first time. That's from 4,500 illegals in January. Just 60 days later, 3,000 turned loose on the cities. How many is that? A lot. While the number of migrants in shelters is decreasing, the number of migrants within Denver is not. We put out a feeler to all the landlords we have connections with, basically said, listen, we're going to have some newcomers. We're going to need housing. He said there is a $2,000 rent cap for landlords to charge the migrants. Nonprofits have already connected folks with all kinds of housing all over Denver. While this might seem like a feel-good story with migrants getting out of the shelters and moving into the homes, it's far less peachy than the city is spinning it. As the number of migrants in city shelters decreases, so does the number of shelters as the city works to decrease the immense deficit on the budget. So I'll just stop there. The city will save $60 million from closing the shelters. That means the $180 million deficit they're facing is going to be closer to $120 million. This is in Denver. What do you hear? Security concerns, streets overrun with thousands of people that we don't even know who they are, what they're doing, how they're going to survive, and a city that's deeply, deeply, deeply in financial trouble. That's just one of the three. And we hadn't even been hearing about Denver to know what the problems were there. All of a sudden, this kind of comes out of the blue. While all this is going on, everybody's kind of distracted. The House passed a spending package, $13 billion in earmarks. This is from PJ Media. Just the News noted that the grandson of Porculus Cox, in it, 1,050 pages, along with $13 billion in earmarks. I didn't say that properly. Six appropriation bills. It's really phenomenal. Phenomenal, the ability. And I, you know, this was all very predictable. All this is completely predictable. I didn't even really talk about it leading up to it because if you didn't see this coming, I don't know what to say to you. Then the Senate turns around, sends a $6 billion funding package to Biden. Congress faces another shutdown deadline on March 22nd. So we're 2 weeks away for the military and many non-defense programs funded under the rest of a dozen spending bills. So, in other words, Ukraine probably got more money. What money did veterans get? What money did our own people get? I didn't see anybody getting too excited. There was no big announcements. They're going to pay off college loans. They're going to send money to Ukraine. They're going to cap the rents for the migrants. Are they going to cap the rents for the veterans? Nobody's even talking about it. The House passes it. This Mike Johnson was supposed to be the saving grace. The radicals, Republicans have been able to accomplish nothing. I don't blame them for everything that they've been labeled and called. What have they been able to accomplish? What have they been able to do? Very little to nothing. Every Speaker of the House that comes along just goes with the spending. There's nothing I can do. Just keep destroying the country step by step. $1 at a time, one migrant at a time. We're seeing how effective it is. So then Biden's going to come out complaining about election finance. This is always great, right? I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how much I really care at this point, but then you see what they're doing here. What is all this dark money? Is money they don't even know where it's coming from? Could be coming from outside of the country. I've said this, I've used this analogy before. Biden should, he certainly does not have clean hands. How much Chinese money has gone to Biden's family and Biden's campaign? How much Chinese money has paid for things that Biden has benefited from? We may never know. Why are the Chinese so supportive of Biden? That's what we should really know. How would you, I've used this analogy before, how would you like it If your son was accused of murder, you knew for a fact that they were 100% innocent because you were the alibi. You were the alibi for your child. And you said, don't worry about it. You go get a great lawyer. You mortgage the house. You put them. You said, don't worry about it. We're going to get through this. We're going to prove you innocent because I know you're innocent. And you go down halfway through the trial and you're down in your lawyer's office and you're scratching your head because you're going, you know, some of this just isn't making sense. He said, oh, it's because you just don't understand how it works. He said, well, I can understand pretty well that a lie is a lie, can't I? Oh, just there. I'm going to take care of this. And you look over and that same lawyer has a check from the prosecutor's office. And it's more than what you're paying him. You go, wait, what is this? You work. Oh, that's a different matter. What do you mean it's a different matter? So you're telling me that Biden sits here and collects a paycheck from the American people while he's taking money from the Chinese and somehow all that's okay? And you're going to say, what does that have to do with the border or anything else? I don't know, maybe because the Chinese want to destroy us and he seems to be helping them every step of the way, really. I've said it many times before. It's not that complicated. And that is that this problem of the immigration is easily solvable with simply passing a law that anybody who's hiring an illegal immigrant would be charged a fine. Make it $10,000 a day for every day for every illegal immigrant hired. Why don't they enact these simple solutions? Oh, nobody's thought of it, I suppose. Or there's a reason why they can't. No, none of that's true. None of that's true. Remember when Z came in to San Francisco? What was that meeting even about? Why haven't we heard anything about it? Oh, he just came to see San Francisco? Just came to say hi to Uncle Joe. I think he was reminding Uncle Joe what he expects him to do. If I look at everything at this point, what is that? Probably just keeping the American economy going long enough that China can survive another day, I suppose. And that's really my point about all this. Follow the money. That's what I said. Dark money, you know, coming in from the Chinese. They saying that there's money coming in from drug cartels down below the border. How dangerous is that? That we've got drug cartel money flowing into our political elections? Now you've got the political oversight that oversees law enforcement being paid off by drug cartels. How in the heck are we supposed to get a fair shot, shake in all that? I don't know. That brings me to the State of the Union a second. Let me make just a couple of comments about this because this is really funny to me. I watched our good brother Dan Bongino. He's going berserk. I didn't watch too much of it. I didn't watch any of the State of the Union because I already knew what he was going to say. I already knew what he was going to say, and I already knew what the reaction was going to be. So Biden, of course, you know, the media is just like, well, Biden, you know, laid out simple talking. He's like, yeah, it was barely coherent. Oh, to the people who he needed to be coherent to, it was plenty coherent. Megyn Kelly comes out and she's, you know, laying it on pretty good how horrible it was. And it's horrible, horrible, horrible. I'm not putting down Megyn Kelly. You're certainly not Dan Bongino, that's for sure. My only point in all this is it's all very predictable. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because the spending bill was already passed. What kind of fools do you think they're taking us as? They already knew the money was in the bank. He goes out there. He's like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm out of here. $16 billion. The guy's 84 years old. He's got the check. He's like, I don't care anymore. And we just continue to put up with it. And then the next day they come out, Biden signs major government funding bill just in time to avert a shutdown. Well, thanks, Uncle Joe. What a hero. Thank goodness he was awake for another day. He signed off on it. Got it done for us. Amazing president, isn't he? I don't know. Who's really believing all this nonsense? Listen, I don't know what to say. Conspiracy theories aside a second. You know, what do you say about all this? Not good, right? I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm not telling people how to think. I'm just kind of speculating, but you got to ask yourself, why is this happening? Who's behind it and why is it happening? And how can it in any way, shape, or form be good for the country? It's not. So what do? You sit back, you see this going on, you're the average person. What are you going to do? You say, well, I'm going to pray and I'm going to vote. Well, that's not working anymore. I hate to tell you. You know, somehow, if that's our strategy to pray and vote, the good Lord is saying that this struggle is going to get a little bit more difficult, shall we say. Now, as much as you might say, woe is me, just remember this. Struggle always comes before growth. And I think that we're at a crossroads. We always are, in a sense. Every generation comes a new choice. Where do you want to go with this? At this time, it's my generation, the 50-year-olds, that are trying to take over from these nut jobs, 70-years-old, that are trying to kill each other. You know, and I think that there needs to be a bit of a passing of that baton, but that's a whole other discussion in itself. My only point to say, don't give up the faith. Good always prevails. And somehow, you know, we're gonna get through it. How? I really don't know either. They're piping all these illegal immigrants into the point now they're going to put security in the cities. I said to you, I stand back and I look at it, I think of my buddy at FEMA saying this is the plan. What plan? Like to section off the cities and we're going to have like two societies? Like, how's this going to work exactly? What kind of an America is that? And nothing that I grew up with, and certainly not what I fought for. What do you say about it? You know, you think it's okay that they're pumping people in? They're going to tell the landlords you can only charge so much. How many veterans are getting bumped off the renter list? How many veterans have bad credit? They say, I can't rent to you. But the immigrant comes in and they say, I can't discriminate. Oh, well, that's the two-rule rule. And when are people going to wake up and see that? Liberals and non-whites have one set of rules, while whites and non-liberals have a different set of rules in this country. Oh, is that wrong of me to say that? Really? Why don't you go take a look at the news and see how people are treated? A buddy of mine sends me an article about insurance costs going up. Homeowners, property. Oh, I've seen it. Maybe you've heard me talking about it, complaining about it, as the rates have gone through the stinking roof. And we haven't had any claims. None. Zilch. Why are my rates going up so much? You're going to pay anyway. They say, well, it's inflation. There's nothing we can do about it. It's nobody's fault. It's just inflation. Meanwhile, they bake another $13 billion in the spending bill, money that's just going to evaporate into thin air that we're going to pay for in the form of inflation. But I don't really believe that BS. Why are the insurance rates going through the roof? How about all the violence that took place in the last election? And they're probably banking huge reserves thinking that it's going to happen again. How about that? How about the fact that the insurance companies can't turn down a claim from a tranny or a brown-skinned person? They got to just pay, and pay some more. And then we're going to get the bill for it. How mismanaged has everything become? You got places. You don't think this is serious? I don't care what color your skin is. When you can't buy a house or property because you can't get the doggone thing insured. Think about this a second. People don't understand how important these basic institutions are, how fragile they are, and the thin ice that we're skating on because of these bad decisions, just allowing people to come across the border, spending indiscriminately. I've said it a million times. Do good people do that? And the answer is emphatically no. But you better start. You can't get insurance in Florida and California. It's a huge problem. You pay through the nose. Now, you better start thinking, how do you live the American dream? Whether it be buying a home or buying a business when you can't insure the doggone thing. How does that work exactly? It changes the game wildly. It really does. And I don't think people have thought about these things for a good long time. And maybe it's time that the conversation comes up. So where are we here? You know, like I said, what are you going to do? You're going to sit back and complain? Well, you better be careful where you buy property. Make sure you can get insurance for it. Make sure that that's going to continue a while, or think about the position that it's going to leave you in if you can. What are mortgage companies going to do? I mean, this is just crazy. All because of the politics and the immigration problem. It's all one and the same. They spend all this is driven by the fact that they've destroyed the value of our money, consequently the value of the country. And they're like two drunks trying to figure out how to balance the checking account. You know, and you think I'm kidding about that? Look at the drugs that they found in the White House. In there having intercourse, dirty, filthy intercourse in a place where it's supposed to be leading one of the leading countries in the world. We got wars going on, a mass migration problem, and they're in there grabbing each other's butts in the House chambers, doing coke in the White House, and everybody says, ah, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, Jerry Springer loves it. Oprah Winfrey loves it. The networks love it. And then they want to sit there, the Republicans. Listen, I don't care, Democrat, Republican. You know, you're going to sit and you're going to, I remember one time a guy was building a restaurant, all right? And you know my background in real estate development. And this guy was in, he's a restaurateur. Well, really a brewery. It was a brewery and a restaurant. It was pretty complicated. Big place that he was doing. He was going to GC this thing himself, general contracted. And if you know anything about building a restaurant these days and the codes involved and all the fire suppression systems and the egress components and everything that comes with it, the cost of the equipment and all that, and it's massive. You really need to know what you're doing. And clearly he didn't, because he's a, you know, beer maker and a restaurateur. And so he's like, you know, into this thing knee deep and things aren't going well. And he asked me to come out and take a look at it for him. And I show up on the job and there's a, you know, mostly empty bottle of booze, right? You know, there were sawhorses set up, job site and plans, you know, like on a sheet of plywood. And then this mostly empty bottle of booze. And I walk right in and I saw that. And I said, you got guys drinking here? And he said, why? Do you have a problem with that? And I said, well, it's not me that has a problem with it. I don't really care. It's not my project. But I'm going to tell you right now. Now I know exactly why you're having a problem. And the guy gets all defensive. Whoa, we can't have a good time. This is the business that we're in. They want to see it. I said, listen, I drink, but I'm just going to say this to you. It comes down to appropriateness and professionalism. There's a time and a place for everything, and the job site is no place for drinking. That's just a fact, a long-established fact, really, from many different standards. And the fact that your job is running like a train wreck is probably reflective of the fact that you're running it like a party and not a job. And the same thing is happening in Washington, the same thing that these crackheads are doing to our country. By the way, the place opened was bankrupt in less than a year. Many subcontractors didn't get paid, and it was a giant boulevard of broken dreams, just like this country's turning out to be. Why do we continue to accept it? I want to make one last point about all this before I let you go. And that is, what do you do about it? Look, I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm sharing with you, you know, what I see in the news and, you know, what it makes me think, whatever that's worth, okay? From over 6 years now, studying headlines, looking at the news and watching politics, all right? My opinion on this is that they're teeing up something bigger. And COVID is done. They've backed away. The whole climate thing, migration, I don't know. Whatever they have to do to maintain control of the cash flow, they're going to do. And these stories prove it. All that aside, politics aside, conjecture aside, conspiracy theories aside, what do you do? Well, the very first thing I'm going to tell you is establishing security. I've said it a million times, and I know that every time that conversation comes up, everybody always wants to go to the Second Amendment and have that discussion. Listen to me. There's a million ways to protect your home and your property, short of firearms and shooting somebody. And many of those things that you should do to harden the target. What? For example, lighting. I've said this a million times. If you don't have proper lighting on your property, you need to start there. You could do it with solar today. Cameras, alarms, all these things are important. Non-lethal. Most of it very effective. But the bigger thing with all that is you need advance notice. And I keep saying this as a warning and a rallying cry. The next thing that I see is groups of migrants. Forget about the legal status. It's not going to matter when 12 of them come rolling up in your yard, pounding on the door, telling you that they're hungry. And by the time they're at that point, you're done. You're done. You need to know in advance of that. How do you do that? Well, you need to think about that, plan that out a little bit. And that's what I'm getting at. The proper alarms that are going to give you advance warning before somebody's ever on the property, let alone in the house. How are you going to defend yourself against a group of people getting ready to attack your property? If you think you're going to do it from inside the house, I'm going to say to you, you're going to have a problem. You're going to want to knock that off before it even gets close to the property. And I say this at this point, you know, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the future. I'm not saying that anything will or won't happen. I'm just saying to you that the National Guard is in New York City, less than 2 hours from my house. We've got the same problem in Philadelphia. How long before it is on our doorsteps? You already see the evidence of it everywhere. People walking around with backpacks. You don't know who they are, where they're going, what they're doing. Our safety is at risk. And all that politics aside, I'm just telling you, now is the time you need to start thinking about safety for your property, for you and your family. If you're not prepared for it, you're running the risk of getting caught completely off guard, and it could be absolutely tragic. I guarantee you that. That's it for today. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow on video and the podcast. We moved the podcast platform. I think everything went smoothly. I haven't heard any bad news. Thanks for all your support. Looking forward to being back tomorrow, God willing. In the meantime, make it a great day.